Palm Sunday. And you're going to think this is the weirdest title for the message. Lord gave me the title, and I was meditating on the title for forever. And he finally gave me the scripture about 6 o'clock this morning, 6:30, to the message. He gave me the message to the title. You can buy sermons off the internet, but you can't get a message from God off the internet. It only comes from one place. I want to preach this morning on the third commandment tied to Palm Sunday. Have you taken the Lord's name in vain? Have you taken the Lord's name in vain? Go to Matthew chapter number 21, if you would, in your Bible. And we're going to read some verses there. Our very level-headed best to read these verses. Familiar scripture, as we say. We are going to preach on Palm Sunday, but with the thought, have you taken the Lord's name in vain? Some of you right now is probably thinking, going, where in the world is this going? And if we'll allow the Lord to speak, allow the Lord to speak to your heart. I can't change you. You can't change me. Jeremiah said this, Alexis, he said, the leopard can't change his spot nor the Ethiopian his skin. I can't even change my own heart. So I've got to ask God to change it. And as I say many a times, if God's not a molding and shaping you, you need to be put on that potter's wheel and get the water thrown onto you. That's this word. Let his hands get a hold of you. Matthew chapter number 21, if you got it, say amen. Amen. If you ain't got it, just look off the person next to you. We're going to read, starting at verse number 1. If you can't stand, by all means, you don't have to stand. But back in Ezra and Nehemiah's days, they stood at the reading of the word. But they read it for about 4 hours. That's a lot of standing. So we can endure a handful of verses. Somebody say amen. Matthew chapter number 21 says this, and when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem and were come to Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus 2 disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway ye shall find an ass tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord hath need of them. And straightway he will send them. And this was done, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell ye the daughter of Sion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon an ass colt, upon an ass, and a colt the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them, and brought the ass and the colt, and put on them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when he was come into Jerusalem, all the city was moved, saying, who is this? And the multitude said, this is Jesus, the prophet of Nazareth of Galilee. And Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and brought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. Would you help me pray? Precious Lord, we come to you one more time today. Thank you, Lord Father, for the sweet spirit that we feel. Thank you, Lord Father, for your presence. Father, we pray, Lord, for the songs that have been sung, the testimonies given. And the song, Brother Millard said, you formed the hill, you grew the tree, and even knowing that was where death and cruelty would take place, you voluntarily going. But Lord, it was to set us free, make us free. God, I pray today for this message, Lord. Would be entered into the hearts that are open, Lord. I pray for everybody to open their heart. I pray that we listen, Lord Father, to the message. Lord, in today's day and time, we need old-time religion, proven, sure, counted on. It's been proven to know that it works. God, we need today the preaching of your word, whereby I am unable to do, Lord, unless you unctionize me and anoint me and use me. Lord, I am a man at best. That's no excuse. But Lord, I ask you to forgive me and use me if you would. Anoint me, Lord Father. Anoint my voice, my lungs, Lord Father. And help me to preach your message and keep me from preaching my message. Lord, use me and help me to say the things that I ought to say and keep from saying the things that I ought not to say that would not bring glory to your name. Lord, we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing and reading. As I said, the question, the title of the message, have you taken the name of the Lord in vain? For years and years, as long as I've known, normally when people talk about taking the name of the Lord in vain, they always associate it by putting his name in front of a cuss word. Don't get me wrong, I think that's absolutely wrong. And you ought not to like it. You ought not to like it when they take the name of the Lord, use the name of our Lord, God, Jesus, Lord Jehovah, and then use it in any type of way that does not bring glory and honor unto him. Sometimes it burns me, and to keep from saying something stupid, somebody will say the name of the Lord and use a cuss word. And I said, yeah, but he also saved people and died for everybody. He's a wonderful God. But I find there's more than just the meaning of using his name attached to a cuss word. We got the Ten Commandments upon the wall of the church, and we hopefully that you got some on the wall at your house, but most importantly, we hope you got them on the walls of your heart. I'm reminded that these Ten Commandments, you've heard me say it before, the first four commandments is your relationship with the Lord. The fifth commandment is your relationship with your family. And the last five commandments are the relationship with you and your fellow man. But the one the Lord had me center upon, Brother Don, about Palm Sunday, was have we taken the Lord's name in vain? What that means simply is, vain is not using as a cuss word. Vain is you make it empty. Vain means it has no effect. Vain means it's not used in the proper way and function. And oftentimes, a lot of people don't realize it. It's not just the words that we say that would bring vanity into the name of the Lord. But I believe this with all my heart. Our actions speak a whole lot louder than the words do. I find that if our life does not match up with our speech, there is a bad flavor, there's a bad smell, there's a bad taste that's left in the mouth and the nostrils, not only of the world, but there's a bad smell in the nostrils of our Lord. The reason why we don't take the name of the Lord's name in vain, because it's by God all things do, or had things been created, all things do exist. It's by, through and by him that we are here today. Oh, and just to say this, that we end our prayers, and some folks would just say, is the name God, is the name Lord, is the name Jesus, is the name Jehovah? I say amen, it's all of them. The Bible says it even told Moses, he said, tell them that I am, has sent you. And in Revelation he says, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And can I say this, he is the beginning and the end. But these names, that name of our Lord should not be taken in vain. When you take it, it just doesn't mean to say something. That means when you take throughout your life, when you go throughout your day and your journey, is it empty? Is it vain? I know some people, and I'm not knocking people, but I've seen some people who has to have the t-shirt or the bumper sticker and things like that. There's one fella that drives through South Lebanon every once in a while, and he had an old beat up minivan, and it was plastered with the word of God all over the minivan. And when the minivan wouldn't run no more, he junked the minivan and got him a new van and plastered it again with the word of the Lord. And I've never talked to the man, but I've talked to people who know that man. And they said that he is what that van says. And can I say, there's nothing worse in this world than a person to say there's something, but their actions deny the very thing that they say. I find in our world of Christendom, I find in our church world today, that so many people draw close to God with their lips, but their heart is far from him. And I find that too many times that not, and I'm not standing up in this pulpit looking down upon you to think that I'm something special and you're not. There's been many times, Sister Amy, that I walked out my door and I thought I was on the top of my game and all it took was a little shaking of my tree and they didn't get the peaches that fell off the sweet fruit. They got some bitterness that may have come from me. I was walking in a vanity. I was walking where I was empty. I was walking where I was not effective. I was walking in the name of the very Lord that I proclaim and the very name of Jesus Christ attached to my life was not effective into the outside world. And can I say this? Some folks don't like it in today's day and time, but that's why I love this Bible. It's not just good for Sunday. It's not just to be used on Sunday, but it's good for Monday. It's good for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, and Saturday. I've heard people say, "Preacher, do you believe a second working of grace?" I believe in seven workings of grace. Grace for Monday, grace for Tuesday, and grace for Thursday and Friday and Saturday and Wednesday. All days, but any day ending with why, Brother Josh, I think there's grace for that day. But can I say we ought not to use and take the name of the Lord in vain? You say, "Preacher, what's that got to do with Palm Sunday?" We find there's two groups of people on this journey, on this triumphant entry, as theologians talk about. We got some who are just simple folk and whose lives have been changed, whom the Lord has had an effect on, Brother Josh. And there's some whom the Lord's name is mentioned quite often, but you don't see the effect of change in their life. Can I say this? When the Lord saved me, Brother Greg, He changed me and He transformed me and made me a new creature. I still believe what the Apostle Paul said, one of my favorite scriptures in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse number 17. I hope you're listening to this. "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All the old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new." That's present tense. That's not past tense. And can I say, I'm glad every day He's making me, He's a molding me, He's a shaping me. Friend, I ain't perfect and you ain't either, but I thank God He's still working on me. I thank God He's still changing me. He said, "Be not ye conformed into the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." And can I say this? What we have a lack of in today's day and time in our churches, Brother Eddie, we have a people that like to name the name Lord, and they like to know that they're saved. And they like, and I love the song, "I'm not going to hell," and I'll raise my hand. And I like that song, "I Know My Name's Written There." I had that song upon my mind. I was like, "Man, I'd like to sing that song today." And they sung that song today. But friend, there needs to be a transformation on the inside, not just a song. Right. Not just a hand raised. And I'm not knocking people who have. But we're living in today's day and time when people want to have the name of the Lord, but they don't want the transformation that comes with it. Amen. But can I say this? If you allow the Lord to transform you, if you allow God to be number one in your life, if you allow God to be the forefront, I always tell my kids, I always tell my wife, and I always try to portray this message to Mount Zion, everybody I meet. I love the scripture when Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all of its righteousness and all these other things will be added unto you." What that simply means is don't worry about the job, don't worry about the home, don't worry about the wife and the kids, don't worry about the boyfriend, the girlfriend, don't worry about school, don't worry about work. If you keep God in the forefront of your eyes and your mind, ever seeking His ways, friend, He'll put everything in place. I say hallelujah. I know people's not odd, and I know Brother Kenny and my Sister Sally won't mind me saying this, but I got a boy in here, and he's took a shine to their daughter, and I think their daughter's took a shine to him. I don't know why sometimes. She's a good girl. I'm teasing Chris, and he's a good boy. But I never forget, if you put God in the forefront of your life, I was asked to go to a church. From my background would say you ought not to go to that church. To preach in a service with seven ministers who don't belong to the same denomination altogether, I was told not to be a part of that with my background. And they said, "You got to preach 7 minutes." Now, that just upsets me 100%. I like 70 better than 7. I said, "I don't know how we're going to do it." And they said they wanted a song. And so we went and we sang and everything. And somebody says, "Well, preacher, why'd you go?" Well, because God said to go. When God says to go, we don't tell God when. We don't tell God how. We just say, "God, I'm going." The Bible says in Isaiah, the Bible says that God was looking for a man who would go. And Isaiah said, "Lord, send me." And he went, and can I say this? Me and Christian was talking about this on the way to church. We was getting ready for church. Anybody ever get ready for church? We was listening to music in the truck. We was listening to one fella give his testimony. We began to talk about how God puts things together. And that night I preached at that church, and we had us a good time. It was a good time. It was a Friday night service before resurrection. They called it Good Friday. And I don't believe in Good Friday. That was what tickled me the most. I don't like Good Friday. Don't look at me crazy. Y'all think I'm nuts, but Jesus said, 3 days and three nights I shall be in the center of the earth. You count back from Sunday and tell me if it's Good Friday. Chew on that for a little while. See me after church if you're confused. I'll say this. I'm like, I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that. Don't believe that. I don't jive with nothing. And God says, you got to go. So Sally, I went. We sat and we preached and everything. One thing led to another. If there's one person who preaches against social media, I preach against social media. But Sister Vicky, that daughter looked for one of my boys and found him and wound up seeing Christian. Next thing you know, they get together and they're talking back and forth. I'm like, well, that's good. I always wanted my boys to find them a good Christian woman. Well, come to find out it wasn't just a Christian woman, that her mama used to come to this church when she was young and that her great-grandpa used to pastor the church. You tell me coincidence happens. I don't believe in coincidence. I believe that God said, if you seek the kingdom of heaven and all its righteousness, he said, all these things will be added unto you. Don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Don't live your life like it's just an empty promise and just to get out of jail free, get out of my sin free. But friend, not only does he forgive you of your sin, but he'll walk with you all the days of your life. Woo! I'm about to shout again, Brother Josh, knowing that he's the God that sticks with you closer than a brother. I find on Palm Sunday, we got some things going on. And I say we got it today in today's church world, Brother Eddie. We have it going on in today's church world. We have it going on in today's day. Notice in the scripture that we read, I usually have a whole lot of notes. I don't have too many notes. But I find that it was prophesied of in Isaiah chapter number 62. In Isaiah 62 verse 11 it says, behold, notice, behold, that means stop for a second. Look at this. Why? He says, behold, the Lord hath proclaimed unto the end of the world. It wasn't just then, but to the end of the world. Say ye to the daughter of Zion, behold, thy salvation cometh. He says, behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. Isaiah's prophesying about this triumphant entry. And can I say, it wasn't just for the salvation of the children of Israel, but he was prophesying for the salvation of Israel. That day, can I say this, friend? The message ain't same, ain't changed, it's the same. Can I say, look up, child of God, our redemption draweth nigh. And that king's a-coming again. Oh, bless his name. And he's coming again without sin unto salvation. Oh, I say, bless his holy righteous name. In Zechariah chapter number 9 and verse number 9, he says this, rejoice greatly. That means you ought to be happy. You ought to be thankful. Why? Because he's coming, O daughter of Zion. Then he says, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Can I say this? It do you some good to shout. It do you the good to whoop and let her rip sometimes. You ain't got to do it in church, but if you get a little bit on you in church, it'd be good to shout in church. I mean, you can just cry those big tears. That's shouting right there already in the eyes of the Lord. But can I say, God's people is a vocal people. God's people is a praising people. God's people is a people that's got a reason to shout. Oh, the children of Israel were in captivity in Babylon. They come to them and says, we want you to sing us one of them songs of Zion. And they said, how can we? They said, we're in a strange land. They need to have them hung their harps up in the willow. I said, get your harps out of the willow, friend. We still ain't home, but keep singing all the way. I got to thinking about that song, Brother Paul, on the way to church. The God in the valleys is still God in the day. And on that, God on the mountain is still the God of the valleys. And the God of the day is still God in the night. He hasn't changed. He's still with us 100%. And the Bible says that Zechariah was prophesying. He said, shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon an ass, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. Can I say this? That the religious folk thought he should be coming in riding on a steed and a white horse. That's a sign of kingship. And a sign of royalty and a sign of power. But he come riding in on that lowly colt. Oh, that was disrespectful. That was poor looking. That was cheap looking. That was not the high brow of the day. And can I say this? Some folks may not like a Pinto, a Dakota. They don't like the Pinto, the old Ford Pintos. I love them old cars. They have, it was bad for timing, gears, and chains. I don't know what them I'm saying this for, but God knows. But I love that little Pinto. It putted around. It got me from A to B. A lot of folks didn't desire, but she was good on gas and fun to drive. And you know, sometimes we're looking for the fanciest things in life to provide the peace that we need. But I'm reminded that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Bible says, he that was rich became poor, that through his poverty that we are poor might become rich. He come riding upon the colt of that ass, that we might know that he come for little old us and poor us. Oh, King David said, I am poor indeed, yet the Lord thinketh upon me. Oh, I thank God that he come in the shape that he did. He was prophesied of his coming. The Bible speaks of those prophets prophesying of Jesus' coming here at this triumphal entry. The things that surrounded the entry, sometimes we forget. In John chapter number 12, it speaks of his triumphant entry. It's the next day after the feast that he has with Lazarus, right after he raised him from the dead. Oh, remember the story, Jesus in John chapter 11. He's there. Lazarus is in the tomb. We all know the story. Mary and Martha said, Lord, if you'd been here, our brother had not have died. But he was dead. He was dead as dead can get. 4 days in the tomb, Jesus comes by, prays the prayer and says, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus comes forth. Hallelujah. Don't get excited. Somebody was resurrected from the dead. Hallelujah. Called out his name. I thank God that he did. But next we find in John chapter number 12, they're eating supper together. And the Bible says the religious folks saw them eating. And they conspired on how they could get rid of Jesus and get rid of Lazarus. You know why they wanted to get rid of Jesus, get rid of Lazarus? Because Lazarus represented that Jesus had come to the meek and the lowly. He come to the ones who wasn't the highbrow. He come to one, Sister Tracy, that did not count in everybody else's eye. I hope you don't get mad at me about this, but you don't count in some of those people. That 1% they talk about in this world, we don't count in their eyes. Our names don't mean nothing to them. Our number does, but our name does not mean nothing to them. But I'm glad the Bible says that Jesus knows the very hairs on our head. Woo! And they are numbered. He knows everything about us. The Bible says that when he came on that colt of that ass, it didn't represent what they looked for, but it represent him coming for us. John chapter 12, they said, how can we get rid of Lazarus? If we can get rid of Lazarus, they're trying to conspire to kill Jesus and Lazarus, and the next day he's riding into town. The crowd that followed them that day, part of that multitude, Brother Eddie, was the multitude that was around the tomb. Y'all listen to the preacher? So they knew, they had heard of the things that Jesus had done. Some was eyewitness accounts, Sister Melissa. Some saw what he did and some heard what he did. And their names are not recorded as one of the disciples, but Sister Vicky, they was there. Some people's looking for a name. I just want to be a part of the number. Somebody say hallelujah. And I'm glad that I am. We find in Luke it gives the same depiction. In Mark, it gives the same depiction. In Mark chapter number 11, it's given the same story. But there's a little twist that Mark throws in it. He tells them that you'll find that colt where two ways meet. Where two ways meet. And can I say this? Some folks has preached mighty big messages on where the two ways meet. Can I say this? Some folks may think I'm crazy, but you can apply that to lost and salvation. Some folks can apply that to that them disciples had a choice to make to go, to follow the Lord or not. But I just like thinking about this, Brother Eddie. It was the crossing of the law and grace, the prophets and salvation, where the two ways meet. That Old Testament tells us of what he was coming for. And when they get there, can I say this? We no longer live under the law. And you say, but preacher, why are you bringing the law into the message? Can I say the law is still good? But we don't live under the law no more. We live under grace. I don't get excited about that. Hallelujah, no more law. I mean, nobody could keep the law, Gabriel Faulkner. Wade, we couldn't keep the law. The Bible said no man could keep the law. and the sacrifices that we offered up because we broke the law wouldn't meet the standards of God no how. But aren't you glad that He sent His Son to fulfill the law and to be the sacrifice once and for all? That's where the two ways met. But I find when the Scripture ties in, when the Scripture ties in to have we taken the name of the Lord in vain, notice what He says in verse number 8. Matthew 21, verse number 8 says, a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. There was a group of people who was willing to sacrifice to be in the way of the Lord. We have a motto, just get out of the way, just get out of the way, just get out of the way. The problem that we have now in 2019, Brother Eddie, we got too many church members and people who proclaim to be Christians who want to get out of the way. Problem is, that we need them to get in the way. Can I say this? Because if you're not in the way, you're in somebody else's way. You're a stumbling block. Either you're a stepping stone or a stumbling block, some folks would say. And can I say this? When you don't want to get in the ways of the Lord, when you no longer want to sacrifice, these people were sacrificing. They took off their garments. The one crowd took off their garments to put on the colt of that ass so Jesus could ride upon that colt. Other folks took their garments off and laid them in the pathway so the colt wouldn't have to have a hard ride and the Savior wouldn't have a bumpy ride on the colt. I'm reminded of the Scripture. I thank God for the colt. I remember when Brother Tony Hudson preached a message that God don't ride on no dead donkeys. He's riding on something live. He's riding on something that was precious. And that colt, the mother of that colt, she knew that baby. That was her baby. But Jesus is riding on that. That colt is now, not only did He grow the tree, Brother Miller, that He died upon and formed the hill, but He rode upon the colt that He formed with His word, rode upon that very colt. And the Bible says that some did those things and put them in the way. We have one crowd that's a sacrificing to be in the way. We got another crowd in verse number 9 and says, the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna in the Son of David, and that He cometh in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest. Before we have a crowd that sacrificed by giving. I forgot to mention we have another crowd that cut down the branches. And Brother Josh, they was willing to put forth the effort to do a labor and do a work to where the path was strewn with something soft that our Savior could go on. And then we had the other crowd that was crying, saying, Hosanna, Hosanna. So we got a crowd that's sacrificing, we got a crowd that's a working, and we got a crowd that's a praising, Brother Eddie. They all three fitly frame and joined together. They are, if you'll have it in the New Testament after Christ arose, they are the form and type and a figure of the local church. One's a sacrificing, one's a laboring, and one's a shouting out the praises. Y'all with the preacher? And can I say, sometimes the jobs are interchangeable. Sometimes somebody will be a working on this day but shouting on the next day. And sometimes somebody's a sacrificing on one day and shouting on the next day. And you know what helps is the person who's a sacrificing, the person who's a laboring, that the people who are shouting are encouraging the sacrificers and the laborers. And you know what happens? We all get together and shout praises unto our Lord. I find that then there is when the fulfillment of the Christian life, you get those times when you get overwhelmed with the blessings of God, when you can reminisce and think about the times when Jesus made a change in your life. Not only made a change in your life, but gave direction for your life. He shaped your life. He guided your life. And can I say this? Friend, I still say you need to get in the way of the Lord. You need to stay in the way of the Lord. Don't let the world turn you out of the way. Don't let the devil turn you out of the way. Don't let your flesh turn you out of the way. I know it may not be comfortable. I know it may not be easy. But Brother Eddie, I have found the struggles and the troubles and the persecution of this life. It does hurt. But when you stay in the way of the Lord, there's blessings forevermore. So many times we surrender, so many times we give it up, and we take the name of the Lord in vain. Can I share this? I shared this with the teen class. Can I share this with you? And this is going to tie into Luke chapter 19. I had no idea this was going to come together. God's pressing my button right now. Luke chapter 19, Brother Don come across it. And I'm sitting there thinking, Brother Don asked for that one last song. I'm like, how's this song going? Man, I ain't feeling this song. I ain't going to lie, I couldn't feel the song at first. Then all of a sudden, the Lord said, no, it is. We got to get back to the heart of worship. Who's it about? Brother Eddie leans over and goes, preacher, it's all about Him. It's all about Him. It's all about Him. Right? And the Bible says they shouted hosannas. They cried out. They's loud about it. Probably louder than me. What did religious people do? Man, tell them to shut up. Tell them to shut up. They're disturbing me. We's the religious folk. We know everything. Problem is, they took the name of the Lord in vain. It's one thing to know the Bible, know the scriptures in the Bible, but it's another thing to know what they mean. Hallelujah. Somebody says, I don't like reading that Old Testament. I said, why? They said, I like that New Testament. It's got Jesus in it. I said, go back and read the Old Testament. Look for Jesus. You'll find him on every page. Find him in every verse and find him in every paragraph and chapter. But I find when they went to shouting, them other people's like, what are they shouting for? Why are they shouting? Tell them to hush. You know what's wrong with a lot of us Baptist people? We've hushed. Don't shout and don't squall just to make a noise. Since you shout and squall and the Lord ain't in it, Brother Kenny will know that too. Somebody say amen right there. But I've seen some of them, Brother Roger, to sit there and they'll get that case, they can't help it. And Ron, I've seen them, you see them shaking. They're about to bust. They're like a 2-liter Coca-Cola with Mentos shoved in the pop bottom up. And someone's got to keep that cap. No, you're going to bust. Let her rip. You might just help them. It might get on the person next to you. And they may not shout, but they'll feel something. The preacher says he's going to say something that ties in Luke chapter 19. We was at a baseball game yesterday. I didn't want to let my boy play baseball. I told that guy I kept wanting my boy to play baseball. I said, no, we've got too much church, too much church, too much church, too much church. He'd been over backwards, let me know that church was top priority, and he's really going to find out here pretty soon because that boy's going to be missing a lot of ball games because of church. Hey, man. But Brother Ron, this ain't mean. Where's Levi at? I love him with all my heart. He knows the truth. Man, that team's just horrible. I mean, they're bad. Bless their heart. Look, he's nodding his head. He can't lie. Them poor pitch. Vicky, it's pitiful. You feel bad for him. And then I'm one of them dads that my dad coached me in baseball. And if you stepped out of line out there, I mean, my dad got hauled off out of the baseball field by the cops before. He threw his own scorekeeper's clipboard in the creek one time, so mad. I mean, so we don't want to go that far, but I think we went far the other way. I'm like, oh, they're just playing. Man, I was there for 4 hours. By that time, I'm wanting to whoop every kid that's out of line and their parents, Sister Lois. We got crushed. Where's Hunter at? I was told your game wasn't a very good game yesterday. But here's a little cheerful thing. They got whooped like 35 to like 4. You should have said amen. Thank God we didn't get beat that bad. 35-4. They said, hey, y'all don't went past the 2-hour time limit. What do y'all want to do? And they said, let them play. I'm like, no, don't let them play. So the game's over. They're like, good game, good game, good game, good game. I'm just sitting there. I'm limping, and I'm mad. And I'm like, I ought not to have been here. And I get to that last kid and the coaches, and I look, and there's Levi's team jumping up and down and shouting like crazy. And the team that scored the 35 points was standing there stunned, looking at the team that scored 4 points like they just beat the Yankees in the World Series. I ain't going to lie, I looked over and go, what are you all shouting over? I'm shaking hands with one of the star players, and I'm like, they shouting like they won, they didn't win. He goes, yeah. He was just stunned watching them shout. Now, I don't know if they were shouting because the game was finally over and they got to go home, I don't know. But can I say to the lost and dying world, they don't know why we shout. And to the religious person who took the Lord's name, they've now taken in vain. Why do we shout? It's not because we're smart. It's not because we're biblical. We shout because we're in the way and our kings are coming. They strode out them palm leaves so that colt could walk on something nice. They covered that colt with garments so Jesus would ride on something nice. Everything was about Jesus' triumphal entry. Can I say this? Have we gotten so far in our Christendom? Have we been saved so long? I said this to the young people, Brother Eddie. They ought to be real excited that God saved them. I've said this before. Some people like him great, grand testimonies of God grabbing some nasty sinner at the age of 27 or 37 or 57 or 60, taking them out of the muck and the mire and saved them. But I heard a man say this, they don't have to lay down in bed at night and fight those thoughts of reminiscing, wish they'd never done what they did. That God kept them from that. I remember that song, and brother and Christian was playing that song, and I heard the one guy give his testimony, that was in his testimony, but that they played that song, and that young gal goes, I never tasted champagne. I never fit in with the popular crowd. Don't have a fancy education. Don't have a title to put beside my name. But then she said, but I've been to Calvary. And I met the one who gave his life for me. And I'm forgiven. And I've been set free from this world of misery. A person who takes that name of the Lord in vain, you're carrying around misery. Can I say this? I would love to be able to say that you won't have bills to pay, you won't have sicknesses, and you won't have heartaches in this life. You're going to have them. But there was a song, I can't remember where I was at, I can't remember if it was here or not, but they sang that song, This Is the Promise. He said he'd never leave nor forsake. He'd go with you all the way to the ends of the world. And in our life and in our church worlds today, Brother Eddie, folks is trying to fit into the crowd. Can I just fit in? Can I just fit in? Can I say this? We're always going to be the weird ones. We're always going to be the odd ones. I got somebody I know, and I told you this before. He doesn't like it. He says, I don't want to put people out. I don't want people to feel awkward about my walk with the Lord. I just want them to know that I'm a peace-loving individual, and I understand that. But I can't turn it on and shut it off. Can you? Can I say this? If you're saved, we got another problem too, Brother Eddie. We got so many people that are saved and they're hammered about their sin from the preached word, and it should. Preached word should hammer your sin. But if you're saved, you don't need to get saved again. Y'all look at this preacher. Ain't nobody ever got saved that never sinned and came short after they got saved. God is the author and the finisher of your faith. He is the author of eternal salvation. And if he saved you and he gave you a brand new life, there's only two things you're doing. Either you're a part of the crowd who wants to be in the way, part of the crowd who's sacrificing, laboring, and praising, or maybe you took the Lord's name in vain and you're trying to get everybody to hush up. Let's just get through the Sunday. Let's just get through the church service. Let's just get through this. You will never have the blessings of the Lord if you try to take that name and do it your own way. I've seen so many people try it. I've seen so many people with the jaw say, well, this is what I'm going to do. This is my little box. And people just try to put me in a box. Now, I realize this, Brother Eddie, I'm not in a box. I'm in the hands of a mighty Savior. Amen. Have you taken the Lord's name in vain? Are you saved today? Have you been born again? You know. If you're wrestling with thoughts and wrestling with doubts, why would you leave this church knowing that the King is coming? You said, preacher, I just don't know. Here's what I'd do. I'd get to an altar. And I'll say this, we've got this hang up about people praying to get saved and praying to get right. I think we need to come just give our heart. When I came, I don't remember saying a single word, Sister Sally. I came to the altar and I was like a busted egg. By the time I got there, it just ripped open and poured all out on that altar. That's what I did. And I didn't repent and come to God, I repented towards God. You can't repent and then come to God. Your repentance is you going to God. And then I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I said, Lord, ain't nobody else could do nothing with me. But I know you can. You say, preacher, I don't like my life. Well, I know who can change your life. But you've got to be willing and wanting for him to do it.